What a great line. What one life have you touched? It's worth chewing on. Today's a special day, moms. And we do want to take a moment to honor, thank, recognize the moms and women among us. There are roses in the lobby for each woman here. We chose not to give them out before because what do you do with it? You lay it down, you sit on it, you step on it, you know. So the ushers are prepared after the service to grace you with that gift, just a little remembrance, a little reminder. But we want to honor moms, and I kind of want to put a little fun into it, so we have a brief video first.
Are you guys sure you've got this?
Yeah. The twins are plugged in. Baby's asleep. How hard can this get?
We're men. Besides, I bumped into Chuck Norris at a Pizza Hut once. I think his power's rubbed off on me.
Get out of here. Go on, enjoy your mommy getaway weekend.
Oh, this weekend was a bad idea.
Remember what happened last time we watched the kids?
I'm not a piñata!
Get it off me! Get it off me!
Yeah, we're gonna need help.
Warning, use of this product may alter your perception of reality. All right, everything looks the same. This is a joke.
Guys, it's like the Sahara in this cup. Can somebody hit me with some juice? And listen, pulp, no pulp, doesn't make a difference to me. You're the ones dealing with the diaper.
Mom goggles!
It's beautiful!
I need you to sit on your bottom. Listen to Daddy. You sit on your bottom, okay? Daddy's gonna come get you. Don't move. Don't dance. Just sit on your bottom. Daddy's gonna come get you.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't you try to stop me.
Baby made a poopy, yes you did.
Where are your mom goggles?
They went for them in my hazmat suit.
Take this. Oh,
oh. So cute.
And then the little boy rocked his mommy. Oh, I love you. Forever. I like you too.
I don't know how they do it.
Oh, well, you take it and you fold it from corner to corner.
No, I'm asking the question, how do moms do all of this? How do they handle it all?
Well, maybe they have goggles we don't know about.
It's as if God gave moms a special way of looking at things, you know? Okay, who taught you servanthood? Who modeled grace? Who gave you a taste of what God's love could look like?
My mom, Mr. T, and my mom.
Anyway, I just think God gave moms a special way of looking at things. Hey, honey.
Hey, how's it going at home?
It's all good. Guess you could say I'm starting to catch a glimpse of what your world looks like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mama.
Hold on, your daughter wants to say something to you.
I think Mama.
She says she misses you. And she realizes how important you are in her life. And she doesn't know how you do it. And she knows that she can't make it without you.
She said all that, huh?
I don't know if she said it. But it's what I wanted to say. And I should have said it a lot sooner. I thank God for you.
The twins.
It was nothing. We have to go, okay? Love you, Mommy.
This place is like a pigsty.
I'm a guy. And I really don't have mom goggles. But there really is some truth to that. Your ability to see the world differently than we do. And to bring cheers and kindnesses and applause into the children of this world. It's a gift. And we want to thank you. So I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. If you're a grandmom or a great-grandmom, I'm not going to have you stand up, but just put your hand up for a minute. Okay? Look around. It's cool. If you're a mom, you can add your hand to that list. Go ahead. Put your hand up. Thanks. Thanks for the hours and the sleepless nights. I know it doesn't stop when children get out of diapers or even out of high school or even out of college or even have their own kids. Somehow it's a lifelong deal. Once you're a mom, you're always a mom. But thank you. Thank you for bringing a slice to life that we couldn't do without. And before I pray, I do want to recognize that for some, Mother's Day is a little bit more of a sadness. Maybe mom has died recently, like my case, or died way too young. And so, though you want to be honored, there is that touch to it. And, for some of us, mom has been less than good or maybe even not that good. And so there's always a mix. But yet amongst all that, we still want to honor and treasure the moms, you moms. So let me pray. God, thank you. Thank you for each and every mother in the crowd, in the world. They really are a gift from you. I thank you for them. For the love that they pour into us, for the selfless things that they do in order to raise us, for the gift they are. Lord, I pray that they would know how much you honor them. And I pray that we would honor them as well. Lord, thank you for the gift of motherhood too. And I pray, Lord, for moms, grandmoms, great-grandmoms, great-great-great-great-great-grandmoms. I pray blessing. And I pray for those who for various reasons there's a shadow cast over this day. For those who lost their moms to death too early in life, I pray grace to know they were loved. For those whose moms were impaired in some way, I pray grace to forgive. For those who could not become moms, I pray, Lord, that if there are any hurts there, that you would heal those hurts, fill the voids. Most of all, Lord, I pray that you would treasure the moms and help us to do the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Mom. And if you, by the way, find those goggles and market them, you'll make a fortune. And it probably would be good for a lot of us who are not moms to put them on once in a while and see life through your eyes. We're continuing in a study of those one another passages in the Bible. And as I've been wrestling with this passage all week, this is the question that has hit me over and over again. In our world, where has civility gone? I mean, maybe it's just me, but it seems like the world that I grew up in was far more civil, more polite, more mannered than the world today. And maybe it was the cocoon of my nice middle class family, and I really didn't experience the real world. But my observations is that civility is disappearing at an incredibly fast rate in our world. It seems to me we live in a hostile kind of me or us versus them world. And, you know, those divisions can be any number of things. So much of today's comedy is really filled with vulgarity, rancor, you know, acrimony. News seems to be becoming more and more polarized. You know, you got the news on the right, which can't say anything good about the left, and news on the left, which can't say anything good about the right, and it's pointing fingers. In Washington, my goodness, on both sides of the aisle in Washington, it seems that they peddle a partisan mongering rather than any attempt to compromise and sense what's best for the country. And everything's done with an edge. I have to admit, I really abhor election season. I really do. I mean, the ads, it just astounds me how nasty they can be. And they don't ever tell you what the person believes. They just jump on some fact on the other person, and it just turns my stomach. And unfortunately, it seems that the more distant you get from actually kind of face-to-face communication with people, the more uncivilized communication can become. I think talk radio and a lot of those shows is a step worse than the news programs on TV. And internet, between social media and texting and chat rooms, some of those places can make talk radio seem like preschool. Now, I don't want to, you know, be overly dramatic about this, but the world can hurt. The way we deal with people is uncivilized for a civilized supposed country. We moved to New Jersey. Laura's, I don't know, 5 years old. Dan's 2 years old. Mike is not yet. And you know, you move to a new town and you got to get some things for your house. And so we we find out how to get to Home Depot, and we've never been to this Home Depot, and I follow, you know, the line, and it takes you in, and you drive right across where, you know, all the people are coming out of the store. And it was one of those really awkward moments, because as I turned the corner, and the door was right there, I mean, you turn off the main road, you pull in, and it seemed like less than 50 feet, you're right by the doorway. And as I make that turn, someone's just popping out of the door. And we do one of those, you know, who's going to go first kinds of things. Now, you need to know, I was never closer to that person than, you know, the main doorway in my car. And so it's like, you know, do I drive? And then you roll a little bit, and then nope, then, you know, and you did this back and forth dance, and I finally just waved them across. I said, just go, you know, go, it's okay, you know. It's a Home Depot, and you have to park about 3 miles away. I mean, it was the largest parking lot. It was absolutely packed, and we were parked in the very back. And it's the last row before the exit. We get out of the car. Laura's on one hand, Dan's toddling on the other, Susan's with us, and a car driving towards us is the same people who we did that little embarrassing dance with. They actually sped up. They literally sped up. And we have these two little kids, and we race them across the little driveway, and the woman, it's a mom and probably her mother's in the passenger seat. She rolls down the window, and as they roar by, she curses us out. Welcome to New Jersey. I receive the one finger salute more often there than I have anywhere in the world, often on the highway. Now, just meant to bring a little humor. What happened to the idea of civility? It seems that things are going in the other direction. But the scriptures, I think, point to a different way of living. And I'd like you to consider two verses this morning, two scripture passages. The first one is from Ephesians. It's a little bit long, but I want you to hear the whole passage. There'll be a few highlighted verses, but I want you to also to catch the tenor of what Paul is saying to the church and how they should be living. He writes, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let in any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." I mean, think about Jesus. What tone would he take if he had a talk show? You know? What would be the tenor of his email, chat room posts, Facebook posts? And then there's the second scripture from Thessalonians. Very simply, Paul says, "Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else." I think God is painting a picture of how we are to react and connect with one another. And it fits under my sense this week about civility. How do we treat one another? With kindness. Do what's good for others. And I pondered those weeks, and that whole idea of civility with one another kept coming up in my heart. Back in February, I wrote in my weekly tidings about a book called Daring Greatly by Dr. Brené Brown. And the full title is a long one. It's Daring Greatly, How the Courage to be Vulnerable Transforms the Way We Live, Love, Parent, and Lead. And I still encourage people to read that book. And let me tell you, this is not the kind of book I normally read. Just ask Susan. I'm not really much of the feelings kind of guy. But she has a lot of incredible stuff to read. And the reason I put that up there is because I remembered one story she had in the book, and it just connected with that whole civility thing, and I went back and I found it, and it actually was an op-ed piece that she wrote for the Houston Chronicle. She's a professor down in Houston. So let me read an excerpt of that. She said, "Last week, while I was trying to enjoy my manicure, I watched in horror as two women across from me talked on their phones the entire time they were getting their nails done. They employed head nods, eyebrow raises, and finger pointing to instruct the manicurist on the things like nail length and polish choices. I really couldn't believe it. I've had my nails done by the same two women for 10 years. I know their names, their real Vietnamese names, their children's names, and many of their stories. They know my name, my children's names, and many of my stories. When I finally made a comment about the women on their cell phones, they both quickly averted their eyes. And finally, in a whisper, the manicurist said, 'They don't notice us. Most of them don't even know we're people.' On the way home, I stopped at Barnes & Noble to pick up a magazine, and the woman ahead of me in line bought two books, applied for a new card reader, and asked to get a book gift wrapped without getting off her cell phone. She plowed through the entire exchange without making eye contact or directly speaking to the young woman working at the counter. She never acknowledged the presence of the human being across from her. After leaving Barnes & Noble, I went to a drive-thru restaurant to get a Dr. Pepper. Right as I pulled up to the window, my cell phone rang. I wasn't quite sure, but I thought it might be my son's school, so I answered it. It wasn't the school. It was someone calling to confirm an appointment. I got off the phone as quickly as I could. In the short time it took me to say, quote, 'Yes, I'll be at the appointment,' unquote, the woman on the window and I had finished our soda for money transaction. I apologized to her the second I got off the phone. I said, 'I'm so sorry. The phone rang when I was pulling up and I thought it was my son's school.' I must have surprised her," she writes, "because she got huge tears in her eyes and said, 'Thank you. Thank you so much. You have no idea how humiliating it is sometimes. They don't even see us.'" She went on to write, "I see adults who don't even look at their waiters when they speak to them. I see parents who let their children talk down to store clerks. I see people rage and scream at receptionists and then treat bosses, doctors, bankers with utmost respect. Everyone wants to know why customer service has gone to hell in a handbasket. I want to know why customer behavior has gone to hell in a handbasket. When we treat people as objects, we dehumanize them. We do something really terrible to their souls and to ours." An Austrian philosopher wrote, "When two people relate to each other authentically and humanly, God is the electricity that surges between them." After spending, she says, "a decade studying authenticity and shame, I can say for certain that we are hardwired for connection emotionally, physically, and spiritually. I'm not suggesting we engage in a deep, meaningful relationship with every man who works at the cleaners or woman that works at the drive-thru, but I am suggesting that we stop dehumanizing people and start looking at them in the eye when we speak to them. If we don't have energy or time to do that, we should stay home. Sure enough, I put that in my sermon Friday afternoon before I left. I drove home, had to stop at Costco. And the person in the line in front of me, with his earbuds in, did the entire transaction, barely lifting his head, nodding, signing the paper, never acknowledging the woman behind the counter. Civility starts in the commonplace arena of treating other people as, get this, people. When people do work for you, do you ever ask their name? We had a rock wall right by our garage collapse after the winter. We had to get it repaired. When the guy showed up, I went out and I greeted him. I'm Bill. What's your name? Brandon. You know, thanks for being here. I took him a cup of coffee later. I was home that day. You know, he's a human being. Did a great job, by the way. I wonder how many people say hello to him. When he showed up the next day, I remembered his name. I said, hey, Brandon, thanks for coming back. You know, and had his crew with him. And the name, the way we greet someone, the way we speak to someone, regardless of their job. Hadn't planned this, but I thought of Bob Masson. Knew the name of his trash collector. Knew a little bit of the guy's life. Because he made it a point to go out and meet him. When Bob was in the hospital and you go to visit him, it was like this parade of people who would come in. And he'd break off every conversation and he'd say, you know, this is nurse so-and-so. This is, you know, food deliverer so-and-so. And they all got a smile on their face because he treated them, no matter their position, he didn't care. As a human being. If we go to the next slide, I want to look back at some of the key positive thoughts in what Paul writes, what the Holy Spirit says to us in terms of how to live with other people. Speak truthfully. Don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ In Christ, God forgave you. Do what is good for each other and for everyone else. You know, it's not just in the family kind of thing. So here's the question I have for you. How could you bring those qualities into your life? Think about those, you know, kind of proverbial circles of relationships. You've got those who are closest to you. You know, probably live under your own house, under your own roof. Do you speak truthfully? Do you hold back the unwholesome talk and give out good talk? Are you kind and compassionate to the people who are in your own house? If you're the adult, since I'm speaking to the adults, when your kids come home, do you talk to them eye to eye? You know, do you look in the eye? Do you greet them? Does your face radiate a smile that you're there? Oh man, now I got to deal with you. It's really civility. And now just travel those layers and let them go out a little bit. You know, I don't know what your next group of people are. It might be the ones at work. It may be in your community or your club or your best friends. And then there's another circle outside. And it goes all the way out until we get to, you know, the people at the drive-thru and at Costco and at Stop and Shop and wherever you go. Drives my kids crazy. But if someone wears a name tag, I use their name. I greet them by name. I figure that's why you have a name tag on. I try to memorize. We go to Costco enough. I try to learn the names of people there so I can greet them without their name tag. My kids are like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. But if I were doing that, you know, if I was, my job for the next 40 minutes was to put carts on that little, you know, thingamajig going up, it would be a whole lot different if the person said, hey, Bill, how you doing? Or just have a good day. Then, you know, civility. What about at work? Go into your workplace if you work in the city or somewhere in Stamford. What's the environment like there? How can you impact that environment by bringing civility, by bringing in these kind of principles? You're not going to impact everyone. But what if you just adopted that? I'm not going to talk with unwholesome language, belittling language, putting down language. When I'm upset or have a disagreement, there are other ways to communicate that without going to that, you know, cut their knees off approach. Consider the little things. People's names. Please and thank you. I mean, they still are in the dictionary, aren't they? Civility. We're going to live with folks all of our lives. It's how we live with them that will make a difference. And God really does care how we treat the other people in our world. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for all the other people in my world. I pray, Lord, that each of us could learn to bring into our lives a little bit more civility, a little bit more care for the other person as a human being, whether they are deep relationships or the passing relationship. Lord, help us to be kind and compassionate, to speak truthfully and with a wholesome tongue. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.